الحمد لله ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى مجد الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله ألف ألف مرة. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، درود پاک پڑھنے
First of all, first and foremost, this great favor of Allah that He's given to us, we should be thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us one more night of Jummah, the night of Friday, in our lives. And with a concern, with a worry, with an objective, with a purpose, Allah's allowed us to sit here. Allah Ta'ala, that purpose for which we are assembled here, may Allah take us to that objective. Because the objective and purpose and mission of a human being is the hereafter. And first before that is the grave. And we forget the grave. The human being forgets the grave during his life. The glitter and glow of the dunya, worldly attractions, worldly being busy in the world, in love with the world. What it makes the human being do is that he becomes negligent of the hereafter. Such gatherings like this, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, what they do is for the individual that the iman gets refreshed, strengthened, and his iman increases. And with regards to reward for this gathering, that's there anyway. Automatic on every good deed, any good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if your niyyah is correct, intention, then the reward is there anyway, automatically. And then the reward is recorded, it's written, and it's put into your book of deeds. But this gathering is not held for just reward, for thawab. Rather, alhamdulillah, there's another purpose, just like I shared with you, what I've explained to you. So with regards to reward, thawab, then there's a hadith that we read and that we listen to, that, and it makes us, you could say, happy, that when a person, an individual, when people gather together, when they assemble together, and they do the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, alhamdulillah, like we are sat for this niyyah, with this intention, that we will do the dhikr of Allah. And then, with this niyyah, and then in this gathering, Allah says those people who assembled, get together, join together to do the remembrance of Allah. Then Allah says the angels of mercy, they surround that gathering. They surround that gathering. And with regards to mercy, the angels of mercy, then Allah Ta'ala's mercy doesn't see, is there a sinful person there, is there a thief there, is there a bandit there, is there a criminal there? No. Allah's mercy is vast. And Allah Ta'ala surrounds and covers everyone. Doesn't matter whatever intention that person has got when he's sitting there, however he is sitting. Even by mistake, if he stumbles across the gathering, by chance he just stumbled across the gathering. But in this gathering, if he joins it, then Allah says, my mercy surrounds that gathering. So sometimes in the life I've seen this, experienced this, that some people, they're sitting in the gathering, majlis, but after that they don't get another gathering in their life and they were not able to come again. In my life, various people, I've seen people come to the gathering and the next day that person I've heard, or downstairs, we've seen that that person's passed away and they're showing his face before he's buried. Janaza, and I'm so surprised that this person was just coming past and he was called, that those people used to sit with you who do dhikr, even yesterday who sat with you in dhikr, that he's right downstairs now, he's passed away, he's in the janazah room. I said, huh? So I'm going to see the room, the face. And one is our planning, but one is the planning of Allah. So we should run our lives along with the planning that Allah has given to us. So this is a great thing, that a gathering, may Allah give us many more repeatedly allow us to come to this gathering. But at least look at this, that if this is my or your last gathering, and the angels of mercy surround this gathering and envelop this gathering, Allah Ta'ala says after that, when the select angels of mercy surround this gathering and seal it, alhamdulillah, then Allah says, they surround the gathering, and Allah says, then I seal that gathering with my mercy. So the angels of mercy surround the gathering, then Allah says, with my mercy I envelop that gathering. So these are the words of the hadith. What is the meaning? What is the tafsir? How does Allah wrap the gathering? How does Allah's mercy overtake that gathering? And what rewards Allah Ta'ala has kept aside? This is hadith. Hadith. And then it says further, that after surrounding the gathering, the angels of mercy, Allah enveloping the gathering with His mercy, and then Allah says, Sakina, special Sakina, contentment Allah Ta'ala instills into the heart of those who are assembled in the gathering. Sakina, comfort. Yes, how much did we spend to come here? How much effort did we make to come here? How long did it take to come here? What did we leave behind before we came here? But look at Allah's mercy. And this is why, because this gathering of dhikr is very beloved to Allah. Allah says that your names are recorded. Yeah? Your names are recorded, are beloved to me, Allah says. Then further it says, that after that, Allah says, in my special gathering, my special gathering, Allah says, in the heavens amongst my special angels, I mention those people who are sat in the world remembering me. So what are me and you? What is our right? What is our status? Yes, there are all types of people here in the gathering. Maybe we are sinful, we have defects. If my defects were to be exposed, I couldn't show my face to anyone. I'd be ashamed. And what status Allah has given to us? Because this is the gathering that Allah Ta'ala likes. We've attended it and we're sat here. So do we make intention that in the future we will never miss this gathering? Make that intention. And the amount of time you have this opportunity in life, the same repeatedly reward you will get. Such a great bounty of Allah. In the morning we'll sit again, then we'll get the same reward in the morning after Fajr. Tomorrow is Jummah. Today is the night of Jummah. Tomorrow is the morning of Jummah. So these are the rewards, the lottery of Allah's gifts. And you can take all the kingdoms of the world. And when a king dies and they lower him into the grave, I've seen big kings, Saudis, various kings, their janazas we have prayed in and seen them being prayed. At the end, he is taken towards the soil, the grave. There's no kingdom, no crown, no clothes, no palace. He's laid bare, naked, and he's buried all the soil. Oh, he was the king of the Arab land, and his honor, dignity goes. That's our hal. This is the real wealth. Whoever has this wealth, then he will get the kingdom in the hereafter. He will get the kingdoms. This many gatherings I attended, this many gatherings of the dhikr I went to, this much reward I got, Allahu Akbar, and I never wasted an opportunity. Allah gave me health, and I used to go and attend the dhikr gatherings and sit down. So value this now. Value the breaths Allah has given to you now. Yes, today we are healthy, but today we're in the era of sins and negligence. Allah has given us such a solution through technology and media, that such a gathering of dhikr we have daily, that the friends of Allah, if you want to attend and be in the company, the good women and men and women, miles away in California, Canada, and their sisters, brothers, sat in this gathering right now, live, around the world. Live. Why? Because Allah doesn't want that my believer, any believer goes to hell. Allah doesn't want that. Those who are unfortunate, who on their fortune there's a seal being applied, even if they're close, even in their ears, their relatives, brothers, fathers, relatives will have come. But they don't want to come. I don't feel like going. I'm lazy. I'll go some other day. I'll go from tomorrow. This happens. This is loss and misfortune and wretchedness. Allah says, summun bukmun umyun fahum la yarji'un. They are dirty, blind, deaf. They don't understand. Their hearts have a seal, padlocked. Allah says, I've sealed their hearts. and embedded that they will not understand their loss. You can read the Quran to them millions of times over, they will understand. They sold their lives, they sold for the dunya. They don't understand. They only understand dunya and counting and worldly things. What a big misfortune and wretchedness. Think about it. If a person doesn't attend a gathering, there's such a great opportunity Allah gives the human being, a believer, and he doesn't attend that, and he makes excuses and pops out from the back door. My brothers, my colleagues, this is a great, great treasure, gift of Allah's. We should value this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every moment Allah enables the believer to develop a worry, a concern for his islah, for his correction and improvement. We are full of defects, sins, darkness. So if we don't think about our own selves, why am I, what are my mistakes, what are my errors, what are my defects, how will I come out of this then? How will I improve myself? How will I correct myself? If I keep thinking I'm pious and good and I've reached already, then how will I look towards my negatives and my sins? We have to think, we have to ponder, we have to reflect that. How can I be good? And then in the hereafter, when the glasses are put in front of me and all the reality will be exposed, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ, Allah says, I created the human being. For example, Toyota company makes a car, or Mercedes makes a car, a model. The manufacturer who's made the car, he knows every component of that car. He knows every single nut and bolt and sensor. He knows even the screw, that which hole that screw will go in and what torque it should be turned and tightened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me the human being. Allah, I don't know. Allah says, I know. In the Quran, Allah tells us. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي, Allah says, the waswasas, your whispering and thoughts in your mind and hearts, even that I know. The breathing that you're doing, I know your breaths in and out. So how can you hide from me, Allah says? How can you hide from me? Allah says that I know everything that's within you, that's in front of you, foolish person. Allah says your jugular vein, your life, your soul, your heart, I know you closer than that, than what you are in reality. What do we say? Oh, I don't want Allah to know. I don't want anyone to know I'm sinning. No one's watching me now, are they? Oh, I don't want this person to find, I don't want that person to know I've done this wrong. I don't want that person to find out my defects, my errors. And whether it's dunya, we're afraid of people, running away from people. But Allah is watching. Allah says that I know everything about you. How can you hide away from me? Conceal yourself from me. And then now in the verse, I can't remember the sequence. It's not coming to my tongue, in my mind. Then Allah Ta'ala says further, that I'm closer to you than your jugular vein, and I'm even beyond that. Allah says that on top of you, there are two angels. They're sat with you constantly. Just like I was reading, there's a need here. So the two angels are assigned to you, Allah says, I know about you. The angels are sat with you and they're recording everything about you. And those angels are such that are with you that I've given them such a pen that you don't even think and they start writing. Right and left, the angels. That's how close they are to you. That's your situation. You think you're in control. And today if I make any Allah, I want to do my Islam, I want to improve myself. SubhanAllah, that pen will start, they'll record. They will say, Allah, He's intended to do good. Allah's mercy, His karam. That Allah, He wants to be saved. Allah, save this woman, the angel says. That Allah opens the doors, the means, the resources for that individual, for that believer, for that sister, for that brother. Allah opens the pathways. If we just make the niyyah, the intention. Every believer should do this, that any action of the dunya or the hereafter, whether it's dunya. I'll give you the example of the dunya. Every action, there's a passion, isn't it? Listen carefully to what I'm saying. For everything you want to do in the world, even a worldly action, you have a passion behind that. And that passion pushes you to do that action. That determination, that ambition. And that makes you do the action. What is that passion? What's that force? What's that, you could say, thing that makes us? One is fear, and one is love. That these two things make us do action. Say SubhanAllah. When an individual does an action, either does it out of fear, he's afraid of something, scared and he's forced to do something, he's got khawf or fear, or I don't want this to happen, or I'll lose out, or if I don't go and do this, this happens. So his fear is pushing him to do X, Y, Z. Even he feels like doing it, his character is in line with that or not, but his fear is forcing him to do the action. You understand what I'm saying? His fear. The khawf is pushing him. That's one passion, one pushing force. And there's another pushing force of love. Of love. What's that? That love for money, love for wealth, a love for career, love for profession, love for status, love for money. When this love and passion is instilled in a person, if you have love for a career, oh, yeah, I want to become this in my life, a profession. Then he works hard, studies. Why? Because the love of that profession is pushing him. He's going to university, he's spending money, he's staying up in the night, studying. Because he's mad that I want to get this profession. Is this the case or not? What is that behind him? The pushing force is his love for that. His love. Politician, he says, I want to get votes from this constituency. Day and night he's campaigning, marketing, I want to be an MP. He'll work hard for that. And this is his love. That's the pushing force, the determination force. Say subhanAllah. Do you understand the examples I'm giving you? You understand? So let's say you've got money. You want money, mal, money, pounds, bank balance. What's making me do that? The love for money. So it's the love behind that. So there are two things. Either fear will be the driving force to make me do an action, or love. So this doesn't just remain to the dunya, this principle. Amal deeds are also implemented for these two reasons. Amal, righteous deeds, are also implemented due to these underlying forces. Either due to fear, the driving force we do good deeds, or due to love. There was a companion, very famous companion, and we read his hadith regularly. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, all the companion sahaba are stars in the sky, and they are shining guides. But he had some special qualities and advice he gave to us. And one is that various times I read this and I share the hadith with you. I don't think that with any sahabi this example occurred. Amazing rank he has, Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He was 18 years old and he became a sahabi. He took iman, shahada. And 18 years old, and from that time to have the company of the Prophet ﷺ. Imagine the company of the Prophet ﷺ. So here remember one point. That Allah Ta'ala's fadl, great mercy, is that if in a young age Allah introduces an individual to a sheikh, a teacher. This is a great, great blessing of Allah. And that people can come later in life, decades later, or in old age. But this is a great mercy of Allah, great favor and blessing that a person is young. And Allah guides that person to the sheikh, to the teacher. He gets the guidance in the young age. And that enjoyment that I, in the 29, 30 years old, I was young at that time when I met Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh, my friends, that at that time, if a person values, if he really wants to go along with the sheikh, at that time, the mujahida, the love, the sacrifice, the hard work, the effort, the enjoyment you get at that time, you can't get that in the old age. You can't get that in the old age. That the age, in all ways or forms, gives you a good taste. In that age, young age, you can be a sinful, then sin will give you enjoyment. You could do dirty actions when you're young, and that dirty action will give you enjoyment. Allah's given that age. You enjoy things. Young, youth. So if Allah's great bounty on a youngster, and he gets a sheikh, and he's a sheikh kamil, and he's a young age student, young, in the teens or twenties, that's a great blessing of Allah. The enjoyment you get that time. But yes, don't waste it though. Don't waste it. I request you, my sister folk who are young still, Allah has given them a sheikh, a teacher. To my colleagues, my friends, I request you that if you've got the name of a teacher, value that teacher. Because right now when you're young, the mujahid, the hard work, the effort you'll do with your sheikh, what you will attain, then the later on in life, you will take the fruits of that hard work in the earlier life. If you waste it today, then tomorrow the fruit will be rotten as well. You won't get it. What a great name Allah gives that in the young age. Even in the old age. Obviously, eventually a person comes to his deen. Let's go to Wali Allah, Sheikh, good teacher. But you have no energy, no taste, no desire, no passion. But this is the time today. Take the hand of a guide in your young age. Woman or man. Sister or brother. And see the enjoyment and achievement. Anyhow, he was 18 years old. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He was a companion, Sahabi. And mashallah, he missed no expedition. This was the achievement of the young age. And all the expeditions and battles he took part. Subhanallah. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu. Great companion. Great companion. Every expedition. He had one special quality. A great quality of his that no other sahabi attained, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think for yourself now this example. That if you love someone, say somebody you love, yeah, in this world, And what you will do to sacrifice for that person you love, to see that person, to meet that person, to phone that person, to speak to the person. Always you're thinking or desperate to speak or see the beloved. And it's not just you, mashallah, it's mutual. It's mutual. And mashallah, that there's something there, some force between the two. So if the beloved himself accepts and admits to his love that I am also remembering you, imagine that person who's in love with that person, how much he'll feel, be so happy. Ooh, the person I'm loving, that person said himself. That these are worldly examples. But think about hereafter. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah, and not some normal mu'min I'm talking about, that the universe revolves for the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The trees, they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the order and the tree uprooted itself and came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's presence. He's that Prophet. Yes? And the trees, the stones, the nature, all witness the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not just human beings. Everything in creation, the trees, the stones, the rocks, the mountains, everything recognized the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if that Prophet, that greatness, he himself says that Mu'adh, oh my companion, oh Mu'adh, Ya Mu'adh, he's addressing Mu'adh, his companion, Ya Mu'adh, I swear by Allah, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, Inni Habbu, I swear by Allah, I have love for you, Mu'adh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this himself. Allahu Akbar. Only a true lover can understand this. How his heart must have split at that time. Imagine how he must have felt, how he must have been overwhelmed when Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal heard that. He must have totally been so happy that day that Rasulullah is saying to him, I love you. I swear by Allah, Mu'adh, I love you. So this is that companion and his examples in front of you. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said about Hazrat Mu'adh, that halal, haram in my ummah, in my nation, halal and haram. The ilm, no one has more knowledge than Mu'adh about halal and haram. The greatest scholar, the greatest faqih, jurist, knowledge of Quran, he was the greatest qari. And his status was this, that his nasiha, his advices, whilst the Prophet was seeing him off, sending him, dispatching him out from Medina, the beautiful advices he was given, and we read these are treasures beyond treasures. In tasawwuf, marifah, nearness to Allah, knowledge of tasawwuf, tazkiyah, the Prophet taught Hazrat Mu'adh all these points. Subhanallah. So, he says, radiallahu anhu, he narrated in one hadith, it's a very famous hadith, and I've probably shared this with you before, you've probably read it, but today I'm showing it again. Now remember this, Quran and hadith, the ilm, it keeps on fluctuating and giving more. The more you delve, the more learning you get. Quran and hadith are so vast and deep, you get learnings all the time, new learnings. So, he said, the Prophet said, Mu'adh, imagine how valuable is this dialogue that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking to his companion. How valuable must be this dialogue? We should not waste this. So he says to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Sani Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah." And it's not that he wasn't in need. He said, "O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please give me some advice." Who is saying this? Mu'adh. And I've just introduced you to him, his status. So what nasiha, advice must have been given to him at that maqam, that when he loved him so much, but Mu'adh didn't ask for the advice for himself, radiyallahu anhu. This is a message for the whole ummah so that we can benefit. Whoever has that determination who wants to take benefit. But there are people who are wasters, who want to waste time. How will he understand? They're not interested. Already they've got the seal of disapproval. Listen carefully. We are people who love Allah. Take benefit from this. Take benefit from this advice. And plug the gaps in your life. Plug the gaps in your life with these advices. O Sani Ya Rasulullah, please give me nasiha. So imagine this advice that the Prophet ﷺ will have given to Mu'adh ibn Jabal and how valuable it must be. So how much the human being, if he practices this, how far he will get in his life and the hereafter. Why? Because this is the nasiha. Who is asking and who is giving the nasiha? Think about that. Do you think in the question of Mu'ad and in the response of the Prophet there's some worldly achievement? Or please tell me, I want my children to succeed, I want my business to flourish, or I'm stuck in this problem, how can I come out? Can you imagine that? It's a worldly advice. Who is asking? Mu'ad ibn Jabal, a companion. Apart from concern for the hereafter, the Prophet will give nothing in response. And Mu'ad ibn Jabal will have no other worry or concern. He'll have concern for the hereafter. What else will there be with Hazrat Mu'ad? So with regards to the hereafter, such a path has been prescribed to us that we are taking a learning. That if we prepare in the same way, then straight we will go to Jannah. If we prepare in the same way. So if only we understand. If only we understand. Although only if we understand and make effort, that can we get the success. So the Hazrat Mu'adh said, radiallahu anhu, O Prophet of Allah, please give me some advice, some nasiha. Straight away the Prophet of Allah responded. He addressed him and he gave nasiha. First, he said, Mu'adh, khashiyat and khawf, that make it essential to have fear and to have concern. Who said this? The Holy Prophet ﷺ to Hazrat Mu'ad. Not just to Mu'ad, but to the whole Ummah. For which reason? What will we get from this? Subhanallah. That what I told you in the beginning, that there are two driving forces that make a person practice anything. And we will get those deeds that we need for the hereafter. What will we get, the two things? We'll get fear and love, both at the same time. And this is what we are lacking today. We're lacking. Because the fear that should be inside us, we don't have that fear. That love that should be inside us, we don't have that love. Fear, we should have the fear that a person should never make a mistake, he should never make Allah unhappy, displeased. He can never do the action that Allah Ta'ala has prohibited. If I've got fear of Allah, will I do that what Allah has prohibited? If I have fear of a human being, if I fear for my boss, then I'll never do anything wrong at work in my employment. So if Allah says, then how can a human being dare that he does an action that Allah has prohibited? And repeatedly I do it. Allah is announcing that don't do X, Y, Z, and we go towards those actions. And we do the same things that Allah has prohibited. The day and night we're repeating them. What's the reason? Because we don't have fear of Allah. So this hadith tells us what? That develop fear within your life. What does that mean? That develop fear so that in reality you can be saved and you won't displease Allah. And you'll be able to practice and follow the path to paradise. So, what a great question. He just asked a question and he got this answer. So fear and determination make it lazim, essential upon you to have fear and concern, fikr, and strengthen the iman. See how much fear. Do I do a sin? I don't even think. I have no khawf, no fear. Otherwise, when the khawf is not there, that's why a person sins. Otherwise, can a person ever leave salah? That we know the punishments are so severe. Can a person miss salah? Leave salah? Prayer? A person who rejects salah, leaves prayer, is clear hadith. That person without any sharia excuse, a person who delays and leaves salah, what has he done? He has gone to the border of kufr, disbelief. Total straightforward decision. That without any sharia excuse, the person dies, he's got no fear. He's got no fear. So what is the value of salah, we have to ask ourselves. And so easily say, I'll leave Isha. Oh, Fajr, I can't pray, I have to leave it. Oh, I left this salah. If you got an excuse, that's different. There are valid excuses. If there's a valid excuse, that's different. We're human beings. Of course, there are valid excuses. There are valid excuses. But if there's no valid excuse, no reason, no purpose, I'm just lazy, I'm sitting at home, I don't feel like going to pray, I'll go one day. Why are you pushing me to pray? I don't need to pray. Don't tell me what to do. This is hadith. What is this? That person's a disbeliever. So now what? He's gone to the extent of kufr. What's left then? What's left? So this, how many percentage are there out there today who do not pray salah? What's the reason? I don't have fear. No fear of Allah. This is the nasiha that the Prophet ﷺ is saying, that if you want to be saved from the punishments, from the with regards to lying, do I not know what is the punishment for lying? Do I not know the punishment for backbiting? Do I not know the punishment for fraud? Don't I know the punishment for consuming haram? Don't I know that if I consume interest riba, what's the punishment? If I suppress someone's money, what's the punishment? So big, and we can read this. Study it. Has Allah Ta'ala not told us that if you mock someone, criticize someone, if you laugh at someone, if you jest against someone, don't say bad to somebody. Allah's told us in this verse. But we still do this after iman, having iman. We go towards kufr, disbelief, by doing these wrong actions. We don't know what we're doing. Why? Because there's no khawf, no fear inside me. The fear has gone. It's left me. I don't have an awareness of the sin, of the fear, that something will happen to me in turn. And Allah Ta'ala, He has made a law, a principle. And Allah has given us examples in the Quran. There are many examples, the consequences. The Quran is filled with consequences and examples Allah has given to us. That if you don't do this, if you don't do that, if you don't do this action, but who goes and sees towards that nation, the previous nations, Allah wiped them from the face of the earth, Allah says, on this same sin that you're doing today. Is this the case or not? Yes, immediately Allah has given us examples, establish them. That this action you're doing, fraud, deceiving, showing off, selling the deen, selling your knowledge, selling your ilm, and you're so stubborn on your sins that you are now dumb and numb. And you're making excuses for your wrongs, and you're presenting wrong hadith as proof. And inside you, Allah says, look inside you. Recognize yourself that you are wrong. You have hidden your defects within you. You're trying to conceal them. Understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? There's a reason for this gathering. Why don't I and we think about our defects? Allah says, how will you be able to bear the consequences? In the hadith is stated that everyone will be sent to hell. This is a Mufassirin, the commentators have done exploration and research on this hadith. That disbelievers and believers all will go to hell. They'll all be sent to hell. Yeah? And there are two bayanat that we can see on this. The Mufassirin have said that when a person will cross the bridge of Sirat, beneath the bridge of Sirat will be hell, and people will have to cross the bridge of Sirat. And according to a status of some person, people will fall off that bridge of Sirat into hell. And there's another explanation that every individual will be put into hell. And the mu'mineen, the believers who are good, righteous, the fire will be made cool for them in hell. This is a verse of the Quran. I can't remember the verse. Allah has written in the Quran that everyone will go to hell. That's clear. It's clear. Mufassirin have given an explanation that the tafsir of the commentators tells us. Yeah, this explanation as well. So what will happen to the believers is they will go in the fire of hell, but the fire will become cool. And then they will be taken out of hell. But those who did sins and went into hell, they will, due to their sins, get the punishment in hell ongoing. They will stay in hell. They will be believers in hell. Those who didn't pray salah, punishment for leaving salah, for consuming haram, for immodesty, for riba, interest, for showing off, for pride, all those defects are within us. The zin of the eyes, adultery of the mouth, of the heart, of the body. Allah said that even in your heart, if you do zina, adultery, Allah says, I know when you do zina. Understand what I'm saying? So what's the first nasiha we've been given? Alayka taqwa. Develop your taqwa. Your fear. We are lacking, we don't have fear in Allah. We don't have fear of Allah. If I had fear of Allah, then all night I would think about my sins and not sleep. Each every footstep of a believer is that with caution he should live his life. That what mistake am I making now? How can I come out of this mistake? How shall I come out of this mistake? Understand what I'm saying? Now the other point here now. The Holy Prophet ﷺ told us, what's that? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ شَجْرَةٌ حَجْرٌ. So after developing fear of Allah, the second nasiha, the Prophet ﷺ said, that how, the second thing, is that if you develop fear, Allah says, then what will happen is that your amal will all start to improve and get corrected. Those actions that you aren't doing, it's because you have got no fear. So as I said to you before, that fear inspires a person to do good. and leave the bad. This hadith. And the second thing that will happen is what? Is that love is the next driving force that makes us do actions. We don't have love for Allah. We don't have love for Allah. If I had love for Allah, a person who loves, will he stay lying on the bed at the time of prayer when Allah is calling him? If I have love for Allah, the person who has love for someone else, if that person orders me, doesn't care, will he carry on doing the action? Tell me. So love is a very high grade. We call, I'm a lover of the Prophet, I'm a lover for the Prophet, and this and that. And we can't even keep the beard. And we say that we love, we can't follow the sunnah. Yes? Can't follow the Prophet's lifestyle. And I'll shout out loudly that I'm a believer, that person's disbeliever, etc. There's simple things. No disbeliever or Muslim here. We're not talking about that. Yes, why are you going into sects and groups? We're not talking about that. That you can never have sects within the Ummah. Radiallahu anhu, if we follow all the Sahaba, there'll be no groups in the Ummah. No groups in the Ummah. All of us will be one on one platform. One thing, if we grab hold of the Sunnah, Allah's order and the Holy Prophet's Sunnah, then will there be any sect or group? Or mixed in the Ummah? All of the Muslims will be lovers of the Prophet. Tell me. But we don't have that love. We don't have that regard. So many groups in the Ummah today, we argue, we split. Reason? Because we don't have the love for Allah and His Rasul. We have love up to saying, oh, do this, read this nasheed and rejoice, and listen to this, and sing in the evening. Oh, he's a true lover, he's reciting nasheeds, he has a long march, 3 miles, Mashallah, may sacrifice for this month that is about to arrive every day, every night. Noor ala noor, Rabiul Awwal. Every day night is noor ala noor. Mashallah, we see that the people who call themselves ashiks, no shame, no modesty. Not them, nor their followers, and those who are running the show. And they talk about that. If you say something, they give fatwa that this person's a kafir, a mushrik, don't pray behind him, kill this person, astaghfirullah. Think about how the ummah is split today. Am I right or am I wrong, tell me? Brothers, you are doing wrong an action. Why are you talking nonsense? So Allah Ta'ala says, there are two driving forces that take us to practicing. One is fear of Allah, and the second is what? Say loudly, love for Allah. Love for Allah. So, there's a false love and a true love. The true love is something else. And we're talking about, what's that? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عِنْدَ رَبِّي عِنْدَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ شَجْرَةً. That in abundance do the dhikr of Allah, remember Allah, so the love of Allah is instilled inside you. That's why we should do that. That's the real love of Allah that will come inside us. What will that be, love? Look, there are two things I've told you. One is what? Fear. Fear. That Allah Ta'ala told us to instill His fear. And second is the love of Allah. So fear, when a person has fear, and with fear he starts to do actions, then what nearness of Allah does he get? Then he becomes a zahid, a zuhud he does. Zuhud. What is that? Zuhud comes into that. What is zuhud? He becomes cautious, exercising caution, careful in his life, and abstaining from sin, leaving wrong, very careful and cautious. That is the zahid, the person who's cautious, careful. He stays as a zahid, practicing zuhud. How does he get that? Due to taqwa, fear of Allah. Understand the point I'm making. How has he attained the zuhud? Taqwa. He gets caution, he's careful, he does ibadah, worship, he tries to abstain from sin to get to this maqam. That person's called a zahid. And the second point we've discussed today, that believer who practices deen due to love of Allah, same path, same deen. That person who due to love, he practices the path of Islam, do dhikr of Allah, develop the fear of Allah. When a person through this path loves Allah, goes towards Allah, then what does he become? Then Allah says that they are those who I love them, they love me. The Quran says this. Allah says, then I love that person and the mu'min loves me as well. It's mutual. And Allah says, because he has adopted the path of love. Understand the point? So there are two paths. One is khawf, fear, and love for Allah. So which path do we want to take? Tell me. So at least try and make some effort. So what's the way to get the love of Allah? By doing abundance of dhikr. So let's look down into our lives. How much in my life have I wasted? Has the love of Allah come into my life? Huh? Has the love of Allah come into my life? We sat there, the love of dunya is there, love for wife, love for children, wasting time. If Allah's love is inside me, that's a sign of Allah's love. Ask yourself, ask your family, ask the Sahaba. Look at the Sahaba, ask those Sahaba who knew about the love of Allah. The whole life they had no clothes to wear. Everything they could do, they were intelligent people, the Sahaba, they were not stupid. Yes, they weren't illiterate. In that day and age, the friends, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they had everything. They had power, they had intellect, they had brains. They could achieve the dunya if they wanted to. Abu Jahl was from amongst them. Yeah, Ubay bin Khalf was from amongst them. They were chaudhries, big heads, they were lords and noble people, and the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ. You think they had no brains, they had no intellect about what to do in the dunya? How can this be? They were all the same from the same tribes. But, hubballah, love of Allah came into the Sahaba. This is the love they had. What do we call this? Love of Allah, the actions that stem from the love of Allah. So when the love of Allah comes into a believer, and the sign of that is what? That when the love of Allah comes into you, then the tests and the trials start to test your love. If you say to someone, brother, I love you. Or to someone, you say, I love you. SubhanAllah, that's a big statement to make. That I love you, I'll give all my all for you. And when a small test, a trial comes, then the love is tested. So if a believer says, Allah, I love you, then do you think, will Allah not test that believer? Allah says, you think so easily, yadkhulu jannah, you will enter into paradise? After claiming you have love for Allah, there was one sahabi, he said to the Prophet, the meaning of the hadith is, he said, O Prophet of Allah, I love you so much. The Prophet said, if you love me, then be ready for poverty and hardship. Yeah, be ready for poverty and hardship. Money, wealth, dunya won't come to you then, my sahabi, if you love me. The standard of success is not happiness in this dunya and bliss. Come for luxury, Allah's fadl. I just started praying salah. As soon as I make hasasah, my shop's running, my business, my trade. This is not the sign of love of Allah. No. The sign of love is whatever you had, that's gone as well. MashaAllah. Whatever you had, that's gone as well. And your heart doesn't feel that there's any money in the pocket now to waste. Yes, we do dhikr, we have love for dhikr. If we come to this platform of love, this level of love for Allah, this is our target, to have limitless love for Allah. The sign of the love of Allah is there's no doubts then, there's no complaining, no making a fuss. Oh, it's hardship, it's too hard for me to practice deen. Oh, my food's been spoiled, why has this happened? I'm sick now. Oh, this has happened to me. Oh, this happened to my family. No, not at all, no complaints. Rather, everything in that person's life happens, subhanAllah, Allah has told me, oh, Allah sent this, alhamdulillah. I'm happy. Hazrat Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi writes a beautiful story. His verses was beautiful. Majnu and Layla. This is a temporary love in the world. You would have heard this story. Layla and Majnu. Temporary love. Sasi, Purnu, Heer, Ranja, Romeo, Juliet. Stories in the dunya of love. This is temporary love, these stories. And how the sacrifice the man gives for the woman and the woman gives for the man. And that is, you could say, that even in the pot of clay, he crossed the river for the ashik. There are examples in the dunya when a person is blind enough. But the real love of believers for Allah, what will that person do? That, will he have anger when problems come, distresses come? Will he sit down and cry? No, not at all. He will never complain. He will never make a fuss. Allah, I did this, Allah did that. This is munafiqeen, hypocrites who make a fuss when hardships come. Otherwise, all hardships are a ni'mah, bounty. The sahaba, they were the same. That whatever comes from Allah's direction, I'm happy with that, I'm embraced that, strengthen your iman, it's your Rabb, your Lord, He's given you reward through hardships. And the believers, they embrace the difficulties. As Ayyub alayhi salam, the great Prophet of Allah, when the insect would fall off his body, he would pick the insect and put it back onto his skin. Where are you going? This is your food, my skin is your food. Allah's given me that disease, sickness, where are you going? He was happy, content. And if a little bit of problem comes in my life, and I'll say, I prayed salah, I did dhikr in the morning, I did this as well, and I've got hardship, why is this tragedy coming in my life? Why is this happening to me? Why is my life in free fall downhill? Astaghfirullah. Is this the love I've got for Allah? Yes, you know Majnu, who was in love with Layla, he had so much love for Layla. Layla got fed up with the love of Majnu. She tried to dishonor him. One day, what did she do? There was a lion. khairat. She was given out a distributing good thing. Majnun said, what's this? She said that Layla is given khairat. He said, Layla is given khairat. Good. And he stood in the line as well to get some good thing. He said, SubhanAllah, why don't I take something from what Layla is distributing? Everyone's watching. That when his turn comes, he'll get good. What happens? So she's given out, she made some halwa, she's given halwa, people taking halwa going. When his turn came, Majnun, he stood in front of Majnun, he said, you dishonorable, disrespectful, stupid man, you've dishonored me. She slapped him hard. Majnun. And she pushed him. And he stood back. And then everyone was joking, oh Majnun, you love Layla, look what she done to you. And we got halwa, and what she done, she pushed you back. She shoved you. He said, you are stupid people. A person like me can be no one more happy than me. You are happy on the halwa. But for me, she just touched me with the hand. This is the worldly example he's given. What do you know that what a great reward I've got? He's saying, this is a worldly love example, isn't it? You understand the point I'm saying here? So my brothers, Allah Ta'ala from His direction, we should ask Allah for protection and safeguard. Allah safeguards us and protects us. Ask Allah for afiyah and goodness and well-being. But when problems come and a disaster comes, then your fasting and salah don't count it. Then consider Allah's elevating your status. And now your dhikr is being beneficial to you and you are being tested by Allah. So stick to the deen. Understand what I'm saying? So two paths Allah has given to us. One is the path of practicing through the fear of Allah. That we don't even have that. And the second one is the path of practice through the love of Allah. We don't even have that. So what jannah are we waiting for? What jannah are we preparing for? What preparation have we got for thereafter, my colleagues, my brother? Things for ourselves. The third thing that we're told, tawbah, repentance. That for the sake of Allah, fi sabri, with patience, endurance, we should leave all our tasks and affairs to Allah. So here's a nasiha. The third one, the Prophet has given to who? Who's given this nasiha to? We'll summarize here because it's time for... Because I can't complete. The discussion was a great benefit. Inshallah, if we get an opportunity, we will continue the discussion. Wa akhru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع طاب ياسين نبي اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا ومدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا اعطنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة أقنا عذاب النار أقنا عذاب القبر أقنا عذاب الحشر أقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبدنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وأشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا اللهم اوفنا في بدني اللهم اوفنا في سمعي اللهم اوفنا في بصري ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.